Hello there.
Hello there.
Hello, what have we here?
Hello there, and thank you for joining me. This is Daniel Talks About Star Wars, the show where I do exactly as that name suggests. My name is Daniel, and of course, we'll be talking about some Star Wars today. Continuing on from last week, this is the second and final part to my ranking discussion type thing of 40 tracks from the Star Wars universe, from various films and TV shows and games. Last episode we covered the first 20 tracks on my list, and it took me a lot longer than I expected it to, so I decided to split it into two parts, and today we'll be looking at the next 20. I don't really think there's much need for any more preamble than that, so I think we're just going to get straight into it. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, then I highly recommend going back and listening to that, just in case you go through this list and think that there's any glaring omissions. They could very well be included in the 20 that I talked about in the previous episode, or they might not be, and you'll still be angry at me. Let's get started. Qui-Gon's Noble End from The Phantom Menace by John Williams. What a track to kick off with. This is a really dynamic piece of music, I think. From that opening, really bombastic, brassy beginning that of course accompanies the moment in The Phantom Menace when those doors open to reveal Darth Maul towards the end of the film. That's a moment from the entirety of Star Wars that is just seared into my brain. To me, that's very iconic. I'm not sure if that's the general consensus, but a big reason for that is because of the music. You know, that's a very memorable kind of sting right there. And yeah, the track is just a bit all over the place, really, in a good way. Like, there's that opening, of course, as I've just mentioned. There's some fun action music which kind of dips in and out of Duel of the Fates, I believe, which is just really fun to listen to. Then when we go back to what's going on between Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Darth Maul, I believe it's the, yeah, it will be, the moment that this scores is when Qui-Gon and Darth Maul are separated by those force field things, and of course Qui-Gon is meditating, Darth Maul is stalking, and we have that music that kind of signifies Darth Maul throughout The Phantom Menace, which is that like really hushed kind of chanting. And then before long, we just have that gut-wrenching moment which scores Qui-Gon's death, that very moment where he's stabbed right in the gut and Ewan McGregor screams no, and like, it's so perfectly suited to that moment. And of course I've, you know, sort of known this since however old I was when I first watched this film, which would have been incredibly young. So of course that's a moment that's stuck with me for my whole life, really, and of course it's elevated by that music, and I almost feel like, just because it goes so well, that when I listen to the track and that particular moment happens, I can almost hear Obi-Wan saying no, like, in the background. Like, it's just so ingrained in me, that moment, and of course a big part of it is because of just how well the music amplifies that particular moment. And yeah, it's just a really enjoyable track, and definitely one of the most memorable pieces from The Phantom Menace. Like, it contains so many of those iconic moments, to me, at least. Padme's Ruminations from Revenge of the Sith by John Williams. So this is a very unique track in Star Wars, I think, particularly among the work of John Williams. This is unlike anything I've ever really heard him do before. I don't have an awful lot to say about it. It's just, it so perfectly accompanies the moment that it scores, which is when Padme is in her and Anakin's apartment, I guess, and she's looking to the Jedi Temple, and then Anakin is in the Jedi Council chamber, and he is looking towards their flat, and yeah, obviously they can't see each other, but they're looking directly at each other, and it's such a quiet and emotionally driven moment. You know, there's no dialogue at all. It's a really well done moment from visual standpoint alone, so the music just out amplifies it that much more, and it just, you feel that foreboding and you sort of feel the strain of it, and it's just, yeah, really powerful. I think that's a running theme with a lot of the best tracks on it. Well, I mean, subjectively best, but, you know, just that it's not the music alone, but it's the moments in the films or, you know, TV shows, whatever, that they are attached to and that they actually score that really just elevates the whole thing to a new level. I think that's where a lot of my love for a lot of the tracks comes from, so... Yeah, my only criticism of the track would just be that towards the end, it does unfortunately for me kind of devolve into pretty standard John Williams stuff, which of course, I mean, it's John Williams, so it's not at all bad, but it does almost feel like a shame to sort of end a track as unique as this one within Star Wars, with some pretty typically sounding Star Wars music.
The Rebellion is Reborn, from The Last Jedi, by John Williams. This is a track that I only really came to appreciate quite recently. Other times when I'd listened to The Last Jedi score, I'd kind of just brushed past it and not really thought much about it, but actually... It is a track that I do really love, mainly because it is just a really nice showcase for Rose's sort of leitmotif from that film, which is a little sort of character theme that I, the first time I watched The Last Jedi, it really stood out to me. It was just one of those themes, much like how I said with Cal's theme from Fallen Order in last episode. Like, it just sounds like Star Wars to me. It just has that quality about it. I can't quite describe it, but it's just such a pleasant melody, and it's very memorable to me. And I hear it, and it, you know, it just makes me happy. It's a really nice listen. And so to have that piece kind of portrayed in a variety of ways throughout this track is just really enjoyable to me, and it's something I really like to listen to. As for the rest of the track, that's pretty decent too. It's pretty standard kind of action, rebels getting ready to face off against the Empire kind of Star Wars music. But, you know, it's good, and it serves its purpose well in the film as well. This isn't a track that actually appears in the film sort of the same way it appears on the soundtrack here. This is almost a coupling together, really, of just various moments from the film, from what I can tell. So it's... not one that matches a particular scene, much like many of the other tracks that I've talked about, but yeah, like I say, just personally, I find it very pleasant.
The Spark, from The Last Jedi, by John Williams. This is such a great piece of music. I absolutely adore this track. And I think if you know this track, then you know the reason why. Before we get to that, it's got some good stuff at the beginning as well. You know, we start off with the Force theme, so you can never go wrong there. We get a bit of Luke and Leia's theme, because of course this is when Luke arrives on Crait in The Last Jedi. So, and if you've listened to my previous episode, then you know how much I love Luke and Leia's theme. So it's nice to get a reprise, again, however you pronounce that word, of that theme. We have a little bit of Han and Leia's theme in there for good measure. But of course, this track is all about that build-up when Luke is walking out to face off against the entire First Order all by himself. It's already such a cool moment, and the music here just amplifies it that much more. Lando's Closet, from Solo, by John Powell. So this is probably the piece of music that stood out to me most when I first watched Solo. And in general, just this new theme in particular was probably the one that, yeah, stuck out to me the most, because I find it really beautiful, and it's just lovely. It's Han and Kira's kind of love theme, shall we call it? And yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything else to say about it other than, yeah, it is just genuinely such a beautiful piece of music, and I feel like I could just listen to it all day. Like, it's so romantic. It feels so, I want to say the word sweeping for some reason, but it kind of feels like classic Hollywood in a way. Like, that's the kind of, it's the kind of music and the kind of theme I would expect to come out of something like that. And I'm saying that as someone who has not seen a lot of classic Hollywood films, but it's kind of the vibe I get from it, and it kind of puts me in that kind of way of thinking, whether that's the intention or not. Other parts of the track, I do enjoy the lead up to the kind of big swell at the end, because just before that we kind of have a low-key, kind of downplayed version of the Crimson Dawn theme, which is nice to hear as well, because that's another small little theme that I do enjoy from Solo. So overall, it's just a nice all-round track for me, and yeah, I think just the way it climaxes is really memorable. Open the Door, from The Mandalorian, by Ludvig Göransson. I've refrained from giving any spoiler warnings in any of my previous episodes on this show, just because I feel like it kind of goes without saying with all of the things I've talked about on my episodes thus far, but I think this time I will issue just a mild spoiler warning. If you've not seen the final episode of The Mandalorian Season 2, then maybe don't listen to this, maybe skip forward a little bit. Because of course this is the music that accompanies the arrival, well, not the initial arrival, but the reveal, just in case anybody at this point in the episode hadn't worked out already, of Luke Skywalker. And I have my own issues with the finale of The Mandalorian Season 2, and to be honest, that kept me from initially kind of enjoying this music, but actually it is a very well done track, and my feelings aside, it does score the scene in question perfectly. We of course begin with the Force theme. It's nothing new to Star Wars, but The Mandalorian has been so careful with, well, not even using any themes really from the films at all, especially in Season 1. There was not a single familiar theme throughout that entire season, I think. And then as we went through Season 2, of course, we heard Yoda's theme a little bit when he got a mention. Of course, we had Ahsoka's theme. So more and more elements from the musical world of Star Wars were being incorporated, and of course, as I said, now we have the Force theme, which it is impactful, especially in that moment in the episode, because it feels like a big deal. It's like, oh my god, it's Luke, and look, there's the Force theme. Well, not look, listen. So yeah, but then obviously moving on from that, it is just a really great piece of music. Like, it accompanies the emotions of the scene really well, without kind of hitting you over the head, I think it does just enough to allow it to still feel natural. There's a certain purity and innocence and childlikeness, particularly in the moment where, and I can remember it quite vividly, when Mando is looking at Grogu with his helmet off for the first time. You know, it does almost remind you of those kind of, I forget what they're called now, but those little things that babies all have, like, above their cots, you know, that play those chimes and stuff, like, things, like, it's very reminiscent of that kind of music, to me at least, and I'm sure that was intentional, but it's very effective in the moment. And then, as Grogu is being taken away, you know, the music is kind of, it does ride that line very well, I think, of being quite bittersweet, very triumphant as well, like, you know, this is the right thing that's supposed to be happening, but it is sad because, of course, a child is being separated from their parent, and it has such a finality to it as well, that really makes you feel like this could be the final episode of The Mandalorian ever. I do think that was obviously the point, to kind of lend a bit of finality to this chapter in The Mandalorian's life and in the show. So it does do that very effectively and very well. Yeah, it hits all the beats it's going for perfectly, in my opinion. And is also just an incredibly enjoyable listen, so it checks all the boxes for me. Hello everyone, Daniel here, obviously. Just checking in at this point in the episode to let you all know and kind of explain myself as to why this episode has come out so late. It was because at this point in the recording, after whatever track I just covered was, because it was a long time ago for me now recording that. After that, I ended up basically destroying my MacBook, and I've just been going through this whole odyssey since then, trying to, you know, see if it can get fixed. Well, it couldn't get fixed, so then I'm waiting for a new laptop, and I'm just, you know, trying to figure out what's the best one to get, because to be honest, I never liked the MacBook, so I was kind of glad to kind of get this opportunity to maybe get a different laptop and something that doesn't actually drive me insane. But unfortunately, that process has taken time, and as I'm recording this little bit for you now, I've only just gotten my new laptop today, so I'm gonna get on with recording the rest of this episode that you are about to hear. This is probably gonna be really weird, just dropped in the middle of the episode like this, but I just, yeah, that's why it's so late. So up until this point, I've probably been talking about how last week I said this, and, you know, referring to the previous episode, when in fact it's now been a month or so, maybe even longer, who knows. But yeah, that's why there's been this delay. Yeah, so I'm gonna do the rest of the episode now. Thank you for your patience. On with the show. Oh, and if you're wondering real quick, because it certainly annoyed me, why the sound quality was suddenly so different and not very good for when I talked about Rebellion is Reborn track, that's because for that particular segment I accidentally used the inbuilt microphone that was on my MacBook and not the microphone that I normally used, so that's the reason for that. Right, on with the show. Anakin's Dark Deeds, from Revenge of the Sith, by John Williams. It was difficult to choose between quite a few of the tracks on the Revenge of the Sith, soundtrack, especially a lot of the ones that kind of chronicle Anakin's downfall. Like, you know, there's this one, Anakin's Dark Deeds, there's the Anakin's Betrayal track, which plays over the Order 66 scene. There's the Immolation scene, which is also another good piece of music. I suppose Padme's Ruminations also falls into this kind of category, and of course, we've already talked about that one. So, but, you know, it was difficult trying to pick sort of out of that bunch, because they are all really great pieces of music, and I think John Williams kind of told that story with the music so remarkably well. But I've chosen this one because I guess it's my favourite. The beginning is really quite effective, you know, it's this quiet kind of choir of these female voices, you know, it's quite sombre. And then it's almost presented like a jump scare, nearly. Even in the film itself, this track plays, it starts when Obi-Wan and Yoda are back at the Jedi Temple, and I think it's when Obi-Wan is looking at the bodies of the slain children, and he's like, who could have done this? And then it's like a hard cut to Anakin taking out all those remaining separatists on Mustafar. So, you know, even in the film, it is kind of like presented like this, like, bam, you know. Kind of makes you jump a little bit. I wouldn't recommend listening to this track if you're out walking alone at night like I did once, because it does spook you a little bit. But yeah, so the beginning is really great, and it is just kind of a really tragic piece of music, you know, which of course it is going for, and I think it's just, it's still enjoyable to listen to though, because it is quite a kind of like almost a singable and hummable kind of melody, you know, that I do find it quite catchy in the most kind of morbid sense, I suppose. You know, it is a memorable piece of music, but I have to say my favorite part is probably more towards the end of the track. I think that's the peak, and it's really incredible, and I particularly love the fact that this part of the track was reused for like I talked about last week, the Clone Wars episode Shattered, when Order 66 does kick off, and it's used when, again, actually very, very, like, suddenly, you know, it's very abrupt when there's that moment where Rex is trying to, like, fight off the Order 66 command sort of in his head, and then he shoots at Ahsoka, and then obviously she whips out her lightsabers, and she's doing all that deflecting, you know, it's a very sudden moment, and this music kicks in, so again, it's been used to that kind of, like, almost shock value kind of effect, but it's just, yeah. In fact, I even love it more for its use in that episode than in Revenge of the Sith, I think, because I think it was so perfectly applied there. But yeah, I can't say enough good things about this track. It's probably one of my favourite pieces of music from Star Wars. I mean, obviously, because it's... that was a dumb thing to say. These are all my favourite, like, pieces of music from Star Wars. But you know what I mean? Like, this is, like, top tier for me. Nurse and Protect, from The Mandalorian, by Ludvig Göransson. We'll be right back. There's honestly not a lot to say about this track other than the fact that it is just a blast to listen to. I think it's such a fun piece of music. It's so adventurous and it just like gets your blood pumping, and it accompanies the scene in the finale of the first season of The Mandalorian, where IG-11 comes in on the speeder bike with the child in a bag on his front, and obviously he's having the time of his life. Yeah, I don't have anything really other than that to say about it. It's just so much fun. It's such an enjoyable listen. It's definitely one of the main pieces of music as I've watched The Mandalorian, particularly in the first season. I think a lot of the tracks from the second season stood out a bit more because they referenced a lot of the older music from Star Wars, but particularly in the first season, this was one of the tracks that like really stood out to me at the time, and I was like, oh, that's so fun. Like, you know, I can't wait to save that to my Spotify and add it to, you know, my playlists and whatever. So yeah, as the track goes on, I suppose it does lose some of that more fun quality as it kind of has to become a bit more threatening. You know, we do get a bit of Ludwig Göransson's sort of Empire and like Moff Gideon like type theme, which I did talk about last week in one of the tracks I covered. I'm still saying last week, even though now, you know, I've had that whole ordeal with my laptop and it's been so long, but God, that's been like a running theme, I think, since I started this show. I've always said last week, no matter how long it's been since the between episodes. But anyway, sorry, tangent there. Yeah, so we have a bit of that music that I talked about last episode. And yeah, I suppose, you know, if I did have to criticise, it does kind of fizzle out a bit for me at the end as we do sort of start having to become a bit more foreboding as it follows, obviously, what's happening on screen. If I remember correctly, this little action scene doesn't exactly end well. I think that's when Mando like hits his head, doesn't he, and like he starts bleeding, and obviously that's when he has to take his helmet off and get patched up by IG-11, so all of that happens afterwards, so it doesn't end well. But yeah, just the beginning alone I think is enough to, you know, forgive any other criticisms I might have with this track, because yeah, like I said, just so much fun. Tales of a Jedi Knight, Learn About the Force, From a New Hope, by John Williams. So it's now that I can finally correct a mistake that's been bugging me since the very first episode of this show, when I talked about episode 4. And I was trying to describe the music in this scene, particularly that opening, which, to be honest, is pretty much the only reason I've included this track at all. Those first few notes are just so perfect to me, and they are so iconic, particularly sort of paired with the scene, you know, of, you know, this kind of reveal of Obi-Wan and just Alec Guinness's performance. You know, it's such a personal and much loved pick for me, and I was just trying to express that in my first episode about A New Hope. And I remember, and I was so sure about it as well, I described those opening notes as being played on some kind of wind instrument, and clearly they're not. Like, you know, it's like a violin or something, or at least some other string instrument. I'm confident that it's a violin at this point, but also at this point, you know, we can't really trust anything I say when I try, and I feel like whenever I try and commit to something, like, oh, I'm definitely sure it's this, even though I have absolutely no real musical knowledge. Like, I still get scared when I try and use the word leitmotif. I really need to stop committing to any kind of musical term or anything else like that, because yeah, that's been something I've been wanting to correct since I sort of finished recording that episode, and I was just like, oh, it's not a wind instrument. But anyway, talking about the track itself, like I said, it is pretty much just that opening that sells it for me. You know, it's so perfect. It's so seared into not just my brain, but like my heart. You know, like I love it. I think it's so wonderful. And, you know, the rest of the track is fine. You've got a bit of the Force theme in there. A bit later on, when I suppose it transitions into the Learn About the Force sort of section of the track, you have Princess Leia's theme when they rewatch the hologram. A bit more of the Force theme, which I do quite enjoy that rendition of it. It is a kind of very mystical feeling version of it. I'm not sure what's different about the arrangement in that particular part of the track that makes it feel that way, but you know, it does definitely evoke that kind of feeling of space fantasy, I feel, at least, you know, that George Lucas was always going for. So that's really nice. And then, of course, it ends with the sort of Empire theme from A New... Or at least part of it. Not the Empire theme, I suppose, but just the little few notes that we get whenever we cut back to the Death Star. So, in that way, it is kind of like a nice all-round A New Hope kind of track. You know, you've got little bits from... Bits of the most memorable themes, in my opinion, sort of sprinkled throughout. But yeah, it's all about that beginning for me. The Mandalorian, from The Mandalorian, by Ludwig Göransson. I feel like this was just an instant classic, wasn't it? Like, this is already such an iconic piece of music, at least in my eyes. But yeah, I just think it's so clever as well. You know, this really speaks to Ludwig Göransson's talent, I think, because I think in order to understand what The Mandalorian is, like, and I'm talking about the show, not just the character now, and to understand what all the filmmakers and creators involved are sort of going for, all you need to do is listen to this piece of music. Like, I think everything has just been captured so perfectly. Like, you get that, like, lone gunslinger kind of Western-type vibe from it. And then, you know, you get some more of the kind of more brassy, like, heroic-type music as it goes on. And then I feel like towards the end it almost transitions into a kind of Saturday morning cartoon type feel, with just how and I mean that in like the nicest way possible. Like, that's not some kind of dig. I just think it captures the very essence of what the show is about perfectly. And then on top of that, it's just really enjoyable to listen to. It's catchy, it's memorable, it's very dynamic. You know, there's a lot of sort of different segments to it almost, and each is just as enjoyable as the last. So, you know, it's truly fantastic, I think, and very impressive. And yeah, I think we're very lucky to have a composer like Ludwig on board for, you know, this show, and hopefully he sticks around till the end and hopefully scores some more shows, maybe, which I'll talk about a bit later on, perhaps. But yeah, great track. Duel of the Fates from The Phantom Menace by John Williams. I mean, what best music of Star Wars list wouldn't be complete without, or would be complete, what's the phrase? Without Duel of the Fates. I mean, come on, it's, I feel like I throw around the word iconic quite a lot now that I'm thinking about it, but you know, this is really like top tier Star Wars music here. You know, it's very well known and it's very well liked. You know, who doesn't enjoy Duel of the Fates? It's such an epic piece of music and it scores such a great bit of action. You know, it just ticks all the boxes. I honestly don't have a lot more to say about it than that, which I know is another thing I've been saying quite a lot, and then I proceed to talk for another few minutes or so. But I really, you know, it's Duel of the Fates, isn't it? It's pretty incredible. This is my favourite part. And yeah, I mean, the rest of it is pretty damn good too. You can certainly see why it was reused for the subsequent two prequel films as well. So that's Duel of the Fates, and it is pretty awesome. Darth Maul Breaks Obi-Wan from The Clone Wars by Kevin Kiner. This is just a short little track from The Clone Wars, but I just think it's really quite effective. It starts out pretty sinister, and we get a little bit of that Darth Maul sort of hushed kind of chanting, much like how I talked about in the Qui-Gon's Noble End track. But yeah, I think the track really excels at the end when, the scene that it accompanies is the death of Satine, which is Obi-Wan's kind of sort of love interest. I mean, they never really have a relationship going because, you know, Obi-Wan's pretty strict on his Jedi-ness. But, you know, I'll call her a love interest. She is killed by Darth Maul, hence the Darth Maul Breaks Obi-Wan title. And he's pretty upset about it, and then that's why at the end we get a rendition of their sort of love theme together, which their like love theme kind of track on its own was one that I was considering including anyway, but I just love this particular version of it because you can really feel the despair in it and like the strain just on those sort of strings at the end and like sort of the pauses in between as well. Like, it's just really effectively conveying the emotions of Obi-Wan in that scene, and it's not even a scene that I've actually watched. You know, I am yet actually to watch a good majority of the Clone Wars, if I'm being perfectly honest, so this isn't even a scene that I have much of an attachment to. It's not really a scene I've seen in the context of the episode. I think I may have seen it just on YouTube or something, like a scene on its own. So the fact that I still enjoy the music to this degree, and I think it's as good as it is, I think really speaks to its quality. Burying the Dead from The Clone Wars by Kevin Kiner. So much like with the music I talked about in the last episode from The Clone Wars episode Shattered, or the unreleased music, this track is just straight up Blade Runner, I think. Like, this is so Tears in Rain, and that's not me, like, trying to, you know, call out any plagiarism or anything. You know, if that was the inspiration for it, which I'm sure it must have been, I mean, to my untrained ear, You know, it sounds so similar. But, you know, if that was the inspiration for it, then that's great. You know, I love the Blade Runner music. I love the soundtracks for those films. And the fact that this particular piece of music from another one of my favourite, you know, franchises reminds me of that. You know, that's perfectly fine. I love that. And it's a piece of music. It's the kind of music that I would have never expected to hear in Star Wars, ever, particularly in the Clone Wars, just because, you know, I feel like, you know, not always, but pretty much most of the time, Kevin Kiner was really trying to just emulate John Williams, as I'm sure he was probably instructed to do. So the fact that we get this kind of music in the Clone Wars, of all places, is really surprising to me, but a welcome one, to be sure. So, yeah, I don't have an awful lot to say about it, which is quickly becoming my catchphrase for these episodes. Yeah, it's just, it's really suitable for the scene, you know, it does kind of capture that melancholy, but also there's a certain, I don't want to say serenity, because at the end of the day, the situation that Ahsoka and Rex are in as they, you know, look upon this graveyard of all their fallen friends, you know, right at the end of this episode, you know, it's not a particularly nice situation, but I suppose there is a certain amount of peace that they have sort of achieved, you know, that the whole Order 66 thing is done with. They've taken the time to bury all of these troopers, these friends that they had, so I suppose, yeah, there is a certain amount of serenity that is conveyed through the track. And yeah, it's a really beautiful piece of music, I think. And like I said, just pleasantly surprising. Capture the Flag, from The Mandalorian, by Ludwig Göransson. I think this is a really good track overall. Like, I think there's a lot of enjoyable elements, you know, from the start, which I think really suits that kind of, I don't know, but it scores the moment where Mando and Grogu, they're at that seeing stone, and that strange, like, energy field appears, and it scores that particular moment at the beginning, and we have those strings, and I think it just suits that moment so perfectly. You know, it could almost be diegetic sound, the way that it just really conveys that very mystical and mysterious element of the scene. And then as we go further on in the track, there's just a lot of really enjoyable action music, some fun new arrangements of Mando's theme sort of sprinkled in, but this is another one of those tracks that I've really chosen it for one very specific reason, and this is actually a track that took a lot of growing to do for me. Like, it had to grow on me, and particularly this bit that I'm going to be talking about, which is this part right here. So that's Boba Fett's new theme, or, well, I guess his only theme, really. I don't recall him ever having one before. So, yeah, this is Boba Fett's theme, finally. And I really love it. And this is the reason why I said earlier I hope Ludwig Göransson perhaps stays on for another TV show, perhaps The Book of Boba Fett, fingers crossed. And if he doesn't, at the very least, I hope that they don't just come up with some new track. You know, I'm really hoping for that consistency, which is something that they have demonstrated they can do, you know, bringing over Kevin Kiner's theme for Ahsoka, for example, and then Ludwig Göransson using that in season 2 of The Mandalorian. So hopefully, you know, it should be an easier task, you know, going between two very related live action shows, you know, keeping that theme. But yeah, to begin with, I didn't like it, actually, because I thought it sounded really silly. You know, because it's a very heavy, kind of plodding and stompy kind of piece of music, you know, like the dum 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 dum, you know, like, you know. So to begin with, I did actually find it quite laughable. But I think as I just sort of came to terms with this sort of new interpretation of Boba Fett, you know, he's older now and you know, we got to see him in a bit of a different light than we have done in any other live-action media, you know, than we have done previously. So I think once I'd come to terms with sort of how Boba Fett is now, and particularly how, you know, Temuera Morrison has changed, you know, he's an older man now, he's not exactly as young and fit as he used to be, you know, not that I shouldn't have said that, like, I'm not trying to say that he's, like, out of shape or anything, you know, I'm sure he could, like, crush me between his palms, you know, but, you know, he not as slender as he used to be. And so I think once I'd come to terms with this new Boba Fett, it's when this piece of music suddenly made a lot more sense to me, and I actually, yeah, really love it. I really love the heaviness of the sounds, and I think it was Robert Rodriguez who directed this particular episode that this music is from. You know, he asked Ludwig to make it sound tribal, and I think you really get that, and I just find it a really enjoyable character theme now, and I'm always happy when a character gets their own theme. You know, that's a particular thing that I really enjoy. So the fact that Boba Fett now has his own theme is great to me, and yeah, I've really come around to this piece of music, which is why I just really hope it sticks around for the Book of Boba Fett, because especially when it was used in that sort of end teaser scene at the end of season 2 of The Mandalorian, you know, it really did convey power, you know, and I think it just really suits this new idea of Boba Fett that we now have to a T. Bogana, from Jedi Fallen Order, by Stephen Barton and Gordy Harp. This was just another one of those pieces of music from Jedi Fallen Order that really stuck out to me when I first played it. Going to Bogana for the first time and hearing this music, it really just sounded so much like Star Wars to me. Particularly, you know, I get a lot of Endor, Return of the Jedi, Parade of the Ewoks, like that track. Like a lot of those sort of vibes from it, which I'm sure was intentional, or at the very least, I think, you know, that just comes with perhaps using a lot of the same instruments, or at least from what it sounds like to me. So there's a lot of similarities there, which kind of just warms me to the track. But, you know, on its own, I still think it's a really enjoyable listen. It has a lot of that sort of curiosity, I think, as, you know, you play as Cal exploring this new environment for the first time, and it's the first time in the game that you really sort of get set free to, you know, have a look around and kind of test out what you can do. And I just think the track really accompanies that feeling and goes along with what the game is inviting you to do so well. And I just think it's a really nice piece of music. Fight and Flight, from Jedi Fallen Order, by Stephen Barton and Gordy Harb. To So this track is obviously from the prologue section of the game, when you're first discovered on Brucker by the Inquisitors, and obviously you have that whole train sequence, and you know, this is the piece of music that accompanies that. So it's quite a long track, which actually is quite a rarity for me. You know, it is quite difficult for me sometimes to kind of fully invest myself in tracks that are quite as long as this. You know, this is over 8 minutes long, I do believe. So, you know, it's a pretty big one. But, you know, for as long as it is, it does keep my attention throughout the whole thing. You know, I do think it is quite a good bit of action music. And I think at the same time, it does emulate John Williams very well. You know, it does sound very Star Wars-y, which I know I've said a lot about the tracks that I've chosen from Jedi Fallen Order, but I genuinely am very impressed at how comfortably, in my opinion at least, the Jedi Fallen Order soundtrack just fits in with, you know, the scores from the films. Like, I do think it was that the essence of Star Wars was captured just so magnificently by these two composers. But I have to say, the highlight of this particular track for me is the last few minutes when it reaches the encounter that Cal actually has towards the end of the sequence with the second sister. I just love those strings. You know, it's terrifying. You know, it's like something out of a horror film, and it really sets up the second sister without doing an awful lot as a force to be reckoned with, no pun intended. And I think this particular piece of music, this sort of theme, does a lot of the heavy lifting to make her feel like a really threatening antagonist, especially when it's used a bit later on in the game, like during some boss fights and various encounters that you have with her. You know, that music really just puts you on edge, you know, and it gets the heart racing, and it does a lot to make her this really terrifying foe. Mando Says Goodbye, from The Mandalorian, by Ludvig Göransson. This is just one of those really short tracks that I like, but it's just a nice piece of music, isn't it? Like, it's a very nice little melody. It's very memorable, in my opinion. Like, you know, you could walk down the street whistling to it, you know. It's really nice. It's light. It's just nice. I honestly don't have a lot to say about it other than that. I mean, it's only a minute. It's not even a minute and a half, you know. It's a minute 20, something like that. So it's a very short track. You know, there's not a lot you can say about it other than what I already have said, which is that it's very nice. And I like it quite a lot. We don't understand. From The Clone Wars, by Kevin Kiner. So, this particular track is from the final episode of The Clone Wars, I want to say, if memory is serving. And I'm so glad that it really seems like Kevin Kiner just got free rein to do what he wanted to do with the scores for these final episodes, like with what I've talked about from the couple of tracks that I liked from my personal favourite episode, Shattered, which is the preceding episode to this one, if indeed it is the last episode, and Burying the Dead, what I talked about earlier as well. You know, there are a lot of tracks here, including this one, that just don't sound like Star Wars, really, which again, I am surprised that they went that direction in wrapping up the Clone Wars. You know, you'd think that they'd kind of stick to what they'd been doing for, you know, however many years, 12 years previous. But I'm glad that they didn't, and we get tracks like this. And for this one in particular, it's just all about that escalation. You know, it's a pretty repetitive track, but if anything, that just helps build the anticipation. Like, it just builds and builds and builds until we reach some sort of climax towards the end that kind of punctuates the action that it's related to. And it's just a really enjoyable track, in my opinion, from that sort of standpoint. Yeah, just so pleased that they decided to try some new things, because yeah, then we get tracks like this, which I just really enjoy. Jedi Master Aayla Secura, from The Clone Wars, by Kevin Kiner. So this is another one of those just very personal picks, and it's a very short track, much like Mando Says Goodbye that I talked about a minute ago. But unlike that track, I can't really explain too much why I like it, because I said with Mando Says Goodbye, at least that one, as short as it may be, has, you know, quite a memorable melody. You know, it's the kind of thing that you can sort of sing along or hum along to. I mean, I said you could, you know, whistle it down the street, you know, so it at least has that going for it. But this one doesn't really have that, and it's such an eclectic kind of piece of music as well. Like, it has quite a lot going on for as short as it is. But I suppose, much like the track I just talked about as well, We Don't Understand, it does have a certain amount of build-up to it. Like, it keeps sort of, well, building up, I suppose, you know. So, I just really like it, though, and I've liked it for quite a long time. It's a track that stuck with me, for a while, and I just, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it does remind me a lot, actually, and I've just thought of this, of a track from Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, which I'm a big Metal Gear Solid fan. There's a track in that called Love Deterrence, and it does actually remind me quite a bit of that, so perhaps that's why I like it so much, because that is another piece of music that I do really love. There's that there. I honestly can't really articulate why. Yeah, I love this one so much. It is a very personal pick, but yeah, there it is. Jedi Master Aayla Secura. Victory Celebration, end title, from Return of the Jedi, by John Williams. I'm sure that in my Return of the Jedi episode, I mentioned just how much joy the final scene in that film brings me, and, you know, for the longest time, it was my favourite film scene of all time. I love it so much. It brings me so much happiness, and a big part, well, the main part of that, really, you know, because there is no dialogue or anything like that, is the music. And I will fight anyone that tries to argue with me that Yub Nub is in any way a superior piece of music to this. You know, this is a special edition change, this piece of music that was added at the request of George Lucas. So John Williams composed something new, and I will forever be thankful. You know, I can forgive all other special edition changes. You know, Greedo shooting first, he could kill Han Solo for all I care, you know, if it means I get this piece of music. I just absolutely adore it, and it is the majority reason that I adore that final scene in A New Hope. So in A New Hope, what am I like in Return of the Jedi? So much. It's just lovely. You know, I don't have anything else to say about it other than that, really, because it is just such a pitch-perfect piece of music that brings out all the emotions, all the right emotions of that scene. So perfectly. And I love it, and it's without a doubt, like, one of my favourite Star Wars music tracks of all time. And of course, as I sort of mentioned earlier, that's true of all of these that I've talked about, but yeah, this one in particular, I love it so much, and can't say enough good things about it, and I love John Williams. And of course, you know, we get an end title part as well, which, as I've mentioned when I've talked about that before, it's kind of like getting the greatest hits of that film, so that's always enjoyable, because I think in this one we get a bit of Luke and Leia's theme, and maybe Parade of the Ewoks. I'd be lying if I said I stuck around listening to the track after the victory celebration part is over. But you know, it's nice to have the rest of it all the same. But yeah, I'm really here for the victory celebration. Wow, I really thought this episode would be shorter than the last one, but I guess not. But yeah, there we have it. 20 more of my favourite tracks from all across Star Wars. So that's 40 in total. We did it, everyone. Thank you for sticking with me. And thank you so much for your patience. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, obviously this episode is very late coming out. Yeah, I was so sure. Now, I even had a schedule for all the rest of my episodes for this year already written down, and I was like going to stick to it, and I was so sure about it. And then, of course, I kicked a drink all over my MacBook, and yeah, the rest is history. And we had that whole, I believe I used the word Odyssey earlier, but I have no idea what Odyssey even means. I hope I used it in the correct context. I kind of wish I hadn't said it now, but anyway, yeah, that's that. So thank you so much for your patience, and I hope you enjoyed listening to me very poorly explain why I enjoy this music from a galaxy far, far away. It's certainly been fun for me, if not a little tricky to edit at times. It's been rather time consuming, but yeah, moving forward, I will be sticking to a bi-weekly release schedule, which is something I did plan beforehand, but obviously I've been a bit waylaid. I probably will be doing some episodes back-to-back weekly down the line, just when I want to do, you know, sort of like companion episodes, like what would have been the case with this episode and the last episode if it hadn't been for the unfortunate accident that took place. But yeah, mainly I'll be sticking to a bi-weekly schedule. So the next episode will be released on the 11th of March. So stay tuned for that. I've no idea yet what I'll be talking about. It's probably going to be an interesting departure from what I've been doing. I mean, certainly from this, but even from, you know, my episodes on the Star Wars films, I expect the episodes to be a lot shorter moving forward, just because I probably won't have an awful lot to say about whatever book or comic or episode of TV I could be looking at, or I could be wrong. I do tend to ramble and go on tangents and repeat things that I've already said, so who knows, but yeah, so we'll see what I'll be talking about in a couple weeks' time, so stay tuned for then. Obviously, it goes without saying that all the music you heard in this episode is owned by Disney and Lucasfilm, I assume, and of course was the creations of the various composers involved that I've mentioned. So, yeah, all the credit goes to those very talented people. I'm just here expressing my love for their work. Hopefully, no suing will take place. Nothing seems to have come of my previous episode, so fingers crossed that it's all right and I haven't wasted any time. But yeah, I suppose I'll wrap things up now. Just thank you again for your patience. I will see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
Hello, this is Who Shot First, a Star Wars controversy podcast, your one-stop shop for all controversies that surround the Star Wars universe. In this podcast, Alex and Ethan analyze all the different controversies that evolve around one of the world's most popular franchises. Come join us on Who Shot First, a Star Wars controversy podcast, anywhere you listen to podcasts.